Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special Sunday night edition of Sports of the Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Memo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm doing okay, but also not really. But I'm going to get to that, you know, in a few minutes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out, you know, this episode, this Sunday night edition of Sports of a Legend. And, you know, on today's show, you know, as always, we talk sports, entertainment, everything else. You know, we'll give you our thoughts on the AEW Full Gear event that went down last night. We'll preview the Survivor Series that's coming up. You know, we'll talk about the Jets and the Giants, who both, you know, had games that they wish they could forget. The Knicks basically doing the same thing they've been doing for the past 20 plus years, essentially how they played against the Suns. And, you know, we'll talk about the hot stove, you know. But if you ladies or gentlemen would like to express yourself and talk about any of these topics and more, we'd love to hear from you. And the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So, again, you know the deal. On this show, we talk sports and entertainment and everything else. And unfortunately, as much as we love talking about entertainment, but, you know, this is the sad part, you know, of entertainment and in life in general, you know, it's a blessing, you know, to grow old each year, you know. Each day on earth is a blessing, you know. But the sad thing about getting older is that, you know, the people that you grew up watching or listening to as a child, you know, unfortunately, they're no longer with us, you know. And, yeah, we've been losing a lot of, you know, legendary people in, you know, in the entertainment business, you know. Aaron Carter just passed away recently, tragically. Kevin Conroy, which I'm still in shock from you know, his passing, and I'm definitely gonna get into depth with that. And then just today, the Power Rangers passing, you know, Jason, you know, David Frank passing away, especially, you know, at his own hands, which is even more shocking, you know. It's just been really sad, you know. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'd even grow up a Power Rangers fan like you were, Mac, and, but I, you know, I'm just totally shocked about him passing away, you know, at the age of 49. And the even sad, the tragedy of it all was, you know, he took his own life, you know, a guy who always, you know, exemplified and stood for, you know, always, you know, fighting the good fight. But I mean, Lord knows what could have happened to make him, you know, just unfortunately, you know, do what he did, you know. And, you know, I know you're a huge Power Ranger fan, so I know you feel the same way how I feel about Kevin Conroy passing away. So I'm going to let you take the floor for a few minutes, express yourself, you know, let it out if you'd like.
Yeah, no, it's definitely very sad and unfortunate that we lost two childhood heroes in Kevin Conroy and Jason David Frank. Batman the animated series was one of my favorite cartoons growing up. And Kevin Conroy, to me, was like the perfect, his voice was like the perfect fit for that role. You know, when I think of Batman, I think of Kevin Conroy's voice as Batman, you know. He will forever be known Batman, that Batman character, you know, for me. So, you know, I was just as shocked as you when I heard that he passed, but a bigger shock is hearing Jason David Frank pass away, because this guy, I just met him earlier this year at an autograph signing, and he seemed like he was in good spirits. He seemed like he was having a great time. You know, nothing was wrong, but that's how it usually is, right? Like, mm-hmm. People who are going through things, are depressed, or who have internal issues going on, and, you know, internal struggle and issues going on, they're not going to let you know how they're really feeling, mm-hmm. because they put up a facade.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to know, you know, what they're really going through, you know, unless they tell you. And who knows what he could have been going through at that time. But it's just sad to hear that he passed away from suicide. And, you know, to anyone out there who's going through things or who they need help, you know, don't be embarrassed to reach out to someone for help and express on how you're feeling, you know. And always tell your loved ones how much you love them, because you never know what they're going through, you know. So, yeah, man, it's definitely sad. It's definitely sad. I mean, I was a big Power Ranger fan growing up, and to me, Jason David Frank is one of the greatest Power Rangers of all time. Played the Green Ranger, played the White Ranger, the Red Rangers and Zeo and Turbo, and then the Black Dino Thunder Ranger. And this guy, he pretty much was the Power Ranger franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a movie coming up next year called the Legend of the White Dragon, I believe. And he won't even be able to go to his own premiere next year because, you know, he's now gone. So, rest in peace, or rest in power. And my condolences go out to him and his family. And he'll be missed. I've seen a lot of tributes, you know, online to Jason David Frank, and he leaves behind so many loving fans and loving family, and it's tragic and unfortunate.
Yeah, man,
another great one.
I echo your sentiments. I mean, yeah, Power Rangers. I mean, oddly enough, that was like the only popular show that I didn't get into, I didn't watch it, but he you know, that show was a phenomenon, and the big part of that phenomenon was him. Like, I literally remember, like, being a little kid in elementary school, and they were just hyping up, oh shoot, who's gonna be the new White Ranger and all that stuff. And then, you know, I remember people hyping it up. And then also when he joined the cast with his debut as the Green Ranger, as a heel, a villain, you know, that was a buzz also, you know. So, yeah, he was, you know, the original cast was so iconic, you know. But, yeah, he definitely, you know, with that iconic cast, I mean, he really stood, head and shoulder above everybody. Like, he was like the star, you know, like kind of like how Urkel came into to Family Matters and just took over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with the Fonz and Happy Days, you know, roles, small roles that, you know, blow up into huge roles and, you know, just take over the whole show. And yeah, man, I just, you know, again, I'm like, I, you know, even as a person who didn't watch Power Rangers like that, but I knew his impact. And the guy always, like, gave back to the fans. He always reprised his roles and every iteration of Power Rangers. Like, you know, he always, was proud of the legacy that he built, and you know his original cast members did, you know, by reprising his role, you know, and you know it's just sad, you know. I'm you know, I feel, you know, very, you know, sorry for his family, you know what they're going through, you know, and I'm you know very happy that you were able to meet him, you know that day.
Yeah,
you know, because I know what a huge fan of his you was. Oh, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
I'm glad I had the opportunity to meet him. You know.
Yeah.
I'll always remember that.
Yeah, man. So yeah, the way how you, I mean, I'm taken back by it, and I didn't even watch the show like that. So yeah, the way how you feeling about, you know, about him is basically how I feel about Kevin Conroy, because, you know, Batman the Animated Series is my favorite cartoon of all time, you know. Like, I remember the phenomenon of, you know, the Michael Keaton, you know, Batman films, you know, and, you know, obviously, you know, back in those days, the early 90s, I was, you know, watching the you know, the Batman, the 60s Batman with Adam West reruns. And, you know, yeah, before, I mean, funny to think of it, like, even before I was a sports fan, I was a Batman fan, you know. And what took it to the next level was the Batman Animated Series, when that cartoon debuted literally 30 years ago. It was on Fox at Sunday night, you know, prime time, you know, and it was just a show that, you know, there was a lot of great cartoons, you know, in the 80s, you know, some in the 60s, 70s. 80s is what really had, like, 80s was like the genesis of, you know, the superhero cartoons. But the 90s, man, I think the 90s, like, took it to that next level. And that the cartoon that literally took the ball and drove it to the end zone was Batman the Animated Series. You know, the voice acting, you know, Kevin Conroy, you had Mark Hamill, obviously, you know, Tom only known for his role as Luke Skywalker. I mean, it was just a all-star cast from that animated series. The writing, the acting, it was just a one-of-a-kind show. I mean, it was my favorite show growing up, and it still is. And, you know, he is Batman, you know. So it's just, you know, I loved, you know, Michael Keaton and Adam West, but to me, Kevin Conroy was always Batman. Like, if I read, like, a comic book or I read something, you know, of Batman talking, I hear Kevin Conroy's voice, you know, speaking. So it's just, you know, crazy, you know, it's just messed up that, you know, he passed away at the age of 66 due to cancer, which, you know, he kept it private, you know. So I mean, you know, very similar to Chadwick Boseman, you know, a few years ago, you know, they both were fighting, you know, cancer, and they wanted to fight it privately. And, you know, both men were, you know, definitely inspirations, you know, to, you know, a lot of fans and, you know, yours truly. I mean, you know, all these men will be, you know, greatly missed. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's just sad. You know, my thoughts and prayers go out to, you know, all of these aforementioned people's, you know, families, you know. It's just, you know, really messed up. But, you know, let me play a clip of his, you know. I mean, you know, you heard my thoughts, you heard Max's thoughts on, you know, Kevin Conroy and, you know, and of course, you know, Jason David Frank. But yeah, here's Kevin Conroy's thoughts on the Batman character and why me and millions of people over the 30 years, you know, fell in love with that animated series. So here's Kevin Conroy's thoughts from his own mouth.
I had no idea. You know, I'm an actor. I studied at Juilliard. I did Broadway, off-Broadway. I did a lot of classics, Shakespeare. And I had no way of knowing this is where my career was going to go. I had just, it was an audition. I auditioned for a job. And that was 27 years ago. And it led to this character that just went on and on and on. So I think the reason he's so iconic is because of all the superheroes, he's the only one who has no superpowers at all. He's just an ordinary person. But what he has is a super amount of passion and a super sense of right and wrong, morality. And so he's just an average guy with $1 billion who transforms himself into this champion of pure good. There's nothing in it for him. He gets nothing out of this except the knowledge that he's healing the world. And it's all because of what happened to him as a child, the venging, what happened to the murder of his parents and his being left as an orphan. And he spends his life, instead of allowing life, you know, life, I often say life throws nothing but curveballs. You know, no matter what you do to prepare for life, it's going to throw a curveball. You're going to constantly be switching from this to that. And if you let it, it can make you bitter. It can make you angry. It can make you hostile. Bruce Wayne doesn't allow that to happen. Life throws him this huge curveball as a child, and he takes it and he turns it into something good.
I meet so many young people at Comic-Cons who've had difficult childhoods. People have rough lives. People forget how rough a lot of childhoods are. And they found inspiration in this character and a safe harbor in this character, safe place to go to. Often people go to the Comic-Con and say, can I hug you? I just want to hug you because you were my best friend when I was 8. And you got me through. I, in Philadelphia, started crying. Said my father died when I was 9, but you were there.
Yeah, man. Rest in peace, Kevin Conroy. I mean, he hit it right on the head. Like, he is easily the most beloved superhero who has no superpowers. Like, his, you know, his intellect, his martial arts skills, you know, that's basically what his weapon. I mean, not to mention the gadgets that he has and the Batmobile, you know, because, you know, and the funny thing is, you know, like when you're a little kid and you have those cars and they say, like, you know, the people's real identities and the group affliction, especially like in those X-Men cards. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
From back in the days. But when you think about it, Batman is his real identity. Bruce Wayne is the mask that he wears in front of people, you know, in public. People think he is this clumsy, you know, billionaire who doesn't care about, you know, current events and, you know, important things. Just, you know, just they just assume he's just this, you know, clueless, you know, rich guy who just, you know, wants to party and have fun and all. But, you know, deep down inside, he's still that little boy who still, you know, wants to avenge the loss of his parents and prevent other people from going through that loss. And then, of course, you know, he, you know, formed that friendship with Robin because of that, you know. But, another thing about Kevin Conroy before, you know, we move on was, you know, the genius he had, you know, with that character. He, you know, he had that, the brilliance to make them have two different voices, distinct voices, you know. You know, when he's Bruce Wayne, he's just this, you know, hey, how are you doing, you know. You know, this, you know, oh, I'm just a chummy kind of guy. but what respect, man. You know, he has that, like, that powerful voice that, you know, Christian Bale tried to emulate, you know, in the, you know, in the movies, but, you know, obviously it didn't, live up to the level that, you know, Kevin Conroy set, you know, but yeah, man, he'll definitely be missed, you know, but his legacy, you know, will live on.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, shifting gears, to the Jets, man, the Jets, you know, they really let one get away for sure, man. Like they were, tied 3-3 for basically the whole game until, you know, that last second touchdown with 30 seconds left into the game by the Patriots. And that basically sealed their fate. I mean, the Jets had a chance to win the division, you know, against a rival, you know, against their rival, the Patriots. And as a result, now they you know, fell down to last place now. You know, they had a chance to take the division, and yeah, just like that's how competitive this AFC East is. It's like the NL East, you know. Basically, you know, it's just a dogfight between, you know, all the teams, you know, in the AFC East. And the Patriots, man, Tom Brady, you can have Mac Jones, you can have Bill Belichick, you know, behind center as a quarterback, and they'll just find a way to beat the Jets, man. It's unbelievable. And Zach Wilson did not help his cause, man. You know, he regressed again. He only, he only, you know, 2 for 77 yards. Or, you know, he only completed 9 of his 22 passes, and disgustingly enough, he was sacked 4 times. So, I mean, that right there is that's what he got his butt kicked, man. And yeah, man, it's just you know, it's just crazy, man. And you know that touchdown, you know, was just highlighted by, you know, that 84-yard punt return by Marcus Jones, man. What can you say, man? The Jets had a chance to take the division. But because of this, now they're in last place.
Yeah, I mean
they're tied with the Patriots.
Belichick has you know, he's very strategic, and he always exposes young quarterbacks. Always seems to be the Jets quarterbacks, by the way. And yeah, he made Zach Wilson throw the ball. And Zach Wilson was not successful at doing that today. He was 17 out of, 9 out of 22, was it?
Yeah, 9 out of 22 passes and sacked 4 times. Definitely a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I mean, the offense was abysmal today. I mean, the Patriots' offense didn't do much either on their side. So, but...
It's not only abysmal. It's Pepto-Bismol. That's how bad it was.
Yeah. They could have used some Pepto-Bismol for that bad performance today.
That defense was leaking.
Yeah. They were atrocious. But that punt return, TD, that... And there was a block.
The offense was. I can't really say the defense was. They only gave up 10 points.
Yeah.
The offense
played well.
The offense
was...
The offense played like Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah,
But that ending there, that was not good. That was a special teams.
Well, yeah, that's the
mistake
points,
right there.
That 84-yard punt. I mean, yeah, that right there was Pepto-Bismol defense. But overall, man, this was a very winnable game. But you know, what can we say? Bill Belichick is the Lucy from Peanuts, man. This one, the Charlie Brown Jets think they you know they could, you know, get that ball for the victory, that you know game winning ball, presented to you know Robert Saleh, and he just pulls it right from under the Jets like he always does, man. It's not the butt fumble bad, which ironically came on Thanksgiving Day many moons ago. I mean, it's a holiday tradition. What can you say? It's like that commercial with the mom from Home Alone and Kevin Hart, and you know she's looking for Kevin, but it's Kevin Hart, and then you know he was saying like, I can't believe you lost another Kevin, and then she said it's a holiday tradition. So in that sense, it's a holiday tradition that the Patriots have to beat up on the Jets around Thanksgiving, or any time really. And it is what it is, man. So
yeah,
now the Jets they gotta get back to the drawing board and try to you know beat the Bears when they host them this upcoming Sunday. So yeah, we'll see what happened with that, you know. And then with the Giants, you know, they got their butt kicked, you know, even worse. You know, it was a blowout. I mean, 31-18, you know, Daniel Jones threw for, you know, he got two interceptions. And shockingly enough, Saquon Barkley only rushed for 22 yards. So, you know, that's the nightmare of a game right there.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants' offense was not there today. But the defense was even worse. We made Jared Goff look like Patrick Mahomes out there.
Mm-hmm.
He had a decent game, but the running game for the Lions was running all over us. And you had Jamal Williams on the Lions. He had like three touchdowns today. And then the DeAndre Swift, the backup running back, he had another touchdown. So those four touchdowns pretty much killed us today, and we couldn't get any when we needed to get stopped. So just a bad day all around for the Giants, and just going to have to come back next week and do better, because today was definitely not a good performance. So, yeah, it was just one of those days today, both New York teams.
Mm-hmm. Something unfortunate, we're not too something that's not foreign to us, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Especially rooting for the Knicks, which I guess we'll just segue to them. I mean, they start off their road trip, winning the first two games. They won in Denver, which first time they won in Denver in like what 16 years or something like that. I'm trying to remember what was the other team they beat beforehand. Yeah, but in any case, they lost like two games ever since then. They lost most recently today to the Suns. Yeah, man. Then the Knicks, man. They just, you know, it's like these last couple of years, it's like they've just been teasing the fans. You know, they're just mediocre. You know, they're just basically a 500 team or just a barely a sub 500 team. You know, they after they got, you know, beat up by the Thunder last Sunday, 145-135, where they had their you know, best scoring performance of the season. They scored, 68 points, I think. It was 48 points in the first quarter, which was a Knick record. You know,
which is saying something, since the Knicks is the oldest team in the league, and they've been around since, what, 1947? But, you know, they didn't play any defense, and they lost that game. Then the Knicks bounced back, beat up on the Jazz, 118-111. Then they beat up on the Nuggets, 106-103. You know, on the first two games of the road trip. So they were looking good in the road trip. Then, of course, Friday night, they lost to the Warriors, which is no surprise there. Even though the Warriors, you know, haven't really been the Warriors, you know, this year, you know, but they are still the defending world champions. So they, you know, they beat up on, they destroyed the Knicks, as there's no surprise there. Then the Suns, even without, Chris Paul and Cam Johnson, they destroyed us 116-95. Jalen Brunson, I think, scored 27 points. But other than that, Barrett and Randall, you know, disappeared. Randall, I think, only scored 9 points in that game. So now tomorrow night they're going to try to exact some revenge on the Thunder in OKC this time. Then they're going to play they're going to host the Trailblazers on Black Friday. And then Sunday they host the Grizzlies to cap off the week. But, yeah, the Knicks, man, it's, you know, what can you say?
What's been done this year so far?
Yeah, man, what can we say that we haven't said about the Knicks since, you know, 2001 or, you know, since this show has been on since 2009. I mean, it's the same thing. We could just take the same footage. We could, you know what, we could even just take, splice up footage from 2009, you know, just put it on the show, on the queue, play it, you know, take a break, you know, watch a sitcom, you know, or a drama for an hour, come back, play the footage, and it's the same thing the Knicks are doing. You know, they don't play defense, you know, they don't pass the ball. I mean, to their credit, Brunson has been, you know, he's with him controlling the ball, there's not a lot of turnovers. So that was a great improvement this season, as opposed to the last couple of years with Randall being the point forward on the team. So, but, yeah, man, the Knicks, man, what can you say that we haven't said about the Knicks?
Well, right now, RJ Barrett is not living up to that contract. He's not shooting well right now, and he's got to play much better. Our best defender on the team right now is Cam Reddish by far.
Yep, and now he's hurt.
Yeah. His team is very inconsistent, very inconsistent.
He is, man. I mean, and not making that trade for Donovan Mitchell is looking even bad. And now there's rumors that the Knicks still want to trade quickly. And I forgot who's the other person. But probably it was Cam Reddish or so, and Derrick Rose. But I'm like, if you're not gonna trade for Donovan Mitchell, man, like, I'm like, what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point? You're gonna get a worse deal. There's no point of trading quickly. Donovan Mitchell quickly, and any of these other guys, you know, it's like you had your chance to try to get a star player, and you just, you know, that's really the best move that the Knicks are gonna do. They were poorly trying to hold out for a star, which I strongly doubt it, because the Knicks' recent history for the past 20 years is that They sign or trade for, you know, a mediocre player and elevate them and act like, you know, hype them up like they're, you know, they're the next stars, like they did with Randall and, you know, so many other players, you know, with this franchise. And the problem is that we're mediocre, you know, we're too good to not be in a lottery, but we're too bad to realistically even try to escape the first round or the play-in or whatever. Like,
I don't know, man. It's I should be feeling more hopeful, but we're like in NBA purgatory, because we're not bad enough. When we were really, really bad under Phil Jackson, you know, or even Isaiah, like we could, you know, no matter what we do, we can never get the top pick. We can never get the top pick. And if we have a high pick, they don't want to draft the players for whatever reason. Phil Jackson had a chance to draft Donovan Mitchell. He didn't do it. I mean, like, there's like so many great players that they could have drafted, and then for whatever reason, they never draft them. They could have had Artest, you know, but they drafted Frederick Weiss. Like, it's just, you know, it's just so many instances that had we been run better, we could have gotten ourselves out of this mess. But it's just, it's like it never ends, man, with this Knicks team.
It's never ending.
It's so frustrating. This is our 50th anniversary coming up. This is the 50th anniversary, because it's the 72-73 season. So this is the first half of the 50th anniversary. And we don't even have a shot to win a championship. Like, it's just, it never ends, man.
Eight and nine right now?
Yeah, but it's
nine,
like,
is our record right now.
But in NBA, it's like you can't even, like, it's not like baseball where you know, if you have a great pitchers and you have timely hitting, you could shock the world. Look at the Phillies. The Phillies was the third best team in the National League, and they're the one that advanced, not the Mets or the Braves. You know, so if you get hot at the right time in baseball, anything is possible. Football season too. You know, you have a good quarterback. You know, play some defense. You know, you can make some noise. Basketball. If you don't have stars. If you don't have a great point guard or a center or a shooter, you're like screwed. You're not gonna make it. In the NBA nowadays, you need at least at the very minimum two superstar players. You know, you can't even have like the Detroit Pistons or the 2005 team. You know, a bunch of very good players, you know, working together to win the title. It's like in this modern day NBA, you have to have superstars. And the Knicks is just,
yeah, well said.
I'm just speechless, man. And that doesn't work when you're on a, you know, you're hosting a podcast to be speechless. So let's just move on and, you know, hope next time we do this show that the Knicks will be doing better. Because, man, it's just frustrating, man. It's just frustrating. Okay, what can you say? I mean, the Knicks, you know, they have a chance to have a good road trip. If they could beat the Thunder, they'd finish off 3-2, which is obviously something you would sign for, being on the West Coast trip. But, you know, what can you say? What can I say about the Knicks I haven't said already? So yeah, let's just move over to the other basketball team in the city, and of course that's the Nets. The Nets, you know, they've had their controversy, but Kyrie, he finally made his return to the Nets, and the Nets, they won by the final score of 127-115. But
I heard that the Black Israelites were in front of Barclays Center.
Mm.
Just to welcome Kyrie back.
Mm. And yeah, Kyrie.
Aren't they usually around there anyway in that area?
Possibly.
Like last time we saw them around that area. So
well, yeah,
Yeah, that we did that day. But yeah, Kyrie, he you know, he didn't have a spectacular game, but obviously, you know, he hasn't played in like 8 games. So, I mean, he scored 14 points, had 5 assists. Kevin Durant scored 26 points, had 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Ben Simmons had a good game. 22 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. This is easily his best game in years.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, the Nets, you know, they were able to defend their home court. They were able to stop, you know, the Grizzlies. Dylan Brooks, he scored 31 points in a losing effort. But yeah, the Nets, they improved to 8-9.
Same record as the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they're going to host. Well, they're going to be on the road in Philly against the 76ers. In Philly. Then they're going to be, you know, go to Toronto against the Raptors Wednesday night. Friday night, Black Friday, they're going to be against the Pacers. And then Sunday night, they'll be playing the Trailblazers in Portland. So, yeah, the Nets, they're going to try to extend their win to the 3-game winning streak on Tuesday night in the city of brotherly love. And Tuesday night, they lost to the Kings, a loss, 153-121, and then they bounced back against the Trailblazers, 109-117, and of course they beat the Grizzlies. On Sunday. So yeah, we'll definitely see how long it'll take this new victory to gel with gel with each other. So they passed their first test since the suspension. But
I heard Ben Simmons is playing better now. He's last few games.
Yeah, he had a good game, especially today. But yeah, we'll see what happens on this upcoming road trip that the Nets are going to be on. But shifting gears, what better way to shift gear than to talk about AEW Full Gear? And they had their pay-per-view on Saturday. And it was, a big event, a huge event. Let's dive right into it. Danhausen and Chaos, which is Orange Cassidy, Trent Barretta, and Rocky Romero. They defeated the Factory, which has QT Marshall, Aaron Solo, Lee Johnson, Nick Comoroto, and Cole Carter. Danhausen and Chaos, they won that match, which was a 10-man tag team match. Ricky Starks defeated Brian Cage, which, you know, they were formerly part of the Team Taz. But Ricky Starks defeated Brian Cage, pinfall, in the AEW World Championship Elimination Tournament semifinals. Eddie Kingston defeated his idol, Jun Akiyama, by pinfall in a singles match. Jungle Boy Jack Perry defeated his former friend, Luchasaurus, by submission in a steel cage match. Death Triangle, which is Pac, formerly known as Neville in WWE, Penta El Zero Mierdo, and Rey Fénix, defeated the Elite, which is Kenny Omega and Young Bucks, which was their first match since the CM Punk debacle, backstage fight that happened. Then, and that match was for the AEW Trios title. The Elite was trying to get their title back after it got stripped as a result with their backstage fight with CM Punk. After CM Punk won the All or Nothing event and, you know, went on that tirade before the backstage fight. What was I going to say? Jay Cargill, she defeated Nyla Rose, to retain the AEW TBS championship. Chris Jericho defeated Bryan Danielson, Claudio Castagnoli, and Sammy Guevara by pinfall in a four-way match for the Ring of Honor World Championship. Shirai, formerly known as Paige, defeated Dr. Britt Baker in her first match in years and her first match in AEW history. So congrats to her. Samoa Joe defeated Wardlow and Powerhouse Hobbs by technical submission in a three-way match for the AEW TNT title. Sting and Darby Allin defeated Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal in a no disqualification tag team match. So yeah, this was Jeff Jarrett's first pay-per-view match. In a long time, I would assume, and his first in AEW. Jamie Hayter defeated Toni Storm to be the new champion. So congrats to her. This was for the interim AEW Women's World Championship because Thunder Rosa is the current AEW Women's Champion. But she was hurt, so they let her keep the title, and then they have this interim title, which will most likely end up in a unification match between Jamie Hayter and Thunder Rosa whenever she gets healed, unless they vacate the title. You got Acclaim, which is Max Caster and Anthony Bowens. Defeat Swerve in Our Glory, which is Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee. They retained the title against Swerve in our Glory, and that group disbanded after their loss to the Acclaim. And last but not least, MJF defeated Jon Moxley to win the AEW World Championship. Because this was the result of MJF revealing in advance that he was going to cash in his casino ladder poker chip in advance, and he won because William Regal turned heel and gave MJF his patented brass knucks while the referee wasn't looking, and MJF won his first ever title, and Jon Moxley got betrayed by William Regal, the guy who helped them form the faction, Blackpool Combat Club, in honor of William Regal. So now William Regal is no longer part of the Blackpool Combat Club, and I'm assuming he's going to be MJF's manager going forward. So, yeah, congratulations to MJF.
Whenever I hear MJF, I think of something naughty. But let's move on.
Okay, I don't know what you're going with there, but yeah, I guess we'll move on. But yeah, I mean, he does call himself the devil, and he calls his fan devil worshippers, so I guess you're
you're on the same ballpark. So, I mean, he's he's definitely a devious dude. I mean, you know, for the past couple of weeks he was teasing that, you know, he might turn into a good guy, which I never felt for it for a second. But yeah, after the match, he ripped into the fans, and yeah, FCC wouldn't be happy with the stuff he was saying. You know, he was basically criticizing the fans, how gullible they are, Tony Khan, the owner, how they all fell for his, his baby face tweener act that he was doing. And yeah, you know, that now the show and the title is Must See TV because he's the champion. And you know, I definitely can't wait to see AEW Dynamite to see, you know, his, how he's gonna gloat to the fans, you know, because he's been predicting his eventual title reign for a long time, you know, saying that he's, you know, a generational talent and, you know, he's better than you and you know it. So yeah, Saturday was his trash talking came into fruition, and he is now the AEW world champion. So that's definitely going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Interesting.
The guy's like only, 26 years old or so. So
wow.
He's the future of wrestling, and he's been always hyping up that 2004, there's going to be a bidding war in 2024 because he allegedly is going to be a free agent. So, he envisions, WWE and AEW fighting for his services. And, you know, like a mercenary, he's going to go to the highest bidder. Another fun fact that I don't know, you probably don't know about, but CM Punk kind of, you know, joked on him about it, was that in 2001, he appeared on an episode of Rosie O'Donnell as a little kid.
Really?
Yeah.
What was he doing on there?
He's saying, "You are my sunshine," which is totally,
what?
You know, it's totally against the character that he portrays, you know. But yeah, I mean, obviously he was a little kid, so I mean, but yeah, wrestling, you know, this I guess before he became a wrestling fan and obviously, you know, a wrestler. Yeah, congrats to him. You know, definitely going to be much watched TV on AEW Dynamite.
Yeah.
But, shifting gears to the War Game, and that's coming up this Saturday. Day after.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The day after Black
Friday. And
yeah.
Two days after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah, this is the first Survivor Series to take place on a Saturday, and the first one.
I have to reschedule our shows in that case, right? I have to do our shows on Black Friday in that case, maybe.
Maybe, or do it Sunday. Yeah, we'll have to, or maybe even Wednesday. Maybe Wednesday night. Who knows? We'll definitely keep you guys posted. We'll definitely figure out what we're gonna do.
Okay, Wednesday night. Yeah, Wednesday night might be good. Yeah.
I'll see what we could do. Maybe I might do mine Friday. I mean, not Friday, Sunday to do a review on this. Maybe that's what I'll do. Do the show on Sunday so we can have the review of this. What was I going to say? Yeah, let's oh yeah. So yeah, this is the first event since 1994 to not take place on Sunday. But yeah, are you excited about the Survivor Series War Game?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's I wouldn't say excited, but I'm curious. But I'll watch it, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, you know, having the War Games. They never had that in WWE. I mean, they've had it in NXT. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Because I felt for years they should have had War Games in the main WWE. So NXT, and you know, now it's happening.
Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's dive right into AJ Styles with the OC, which obviously is Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, Mia Yim. He's gonna be AJ Styles is gonna go 1-on-1 with Finn Balor, which is, you know, of course he's part of the Judgment Day with Damian Priest, Dominic Mysterio, and Rhea Ripley. Who do you think is gonna win in this 1-on-1 matchup, Styles or Balor?
Styles.
We don't pick Balor to win this.
Okay.
All right. Ronda Rousey versus Shotzi, formerly known as Shotzi Blackheart. This is a singles title for the WWE Women's Championship, SmackDown Women's Championship. I'm gonna take a lucky guess, but I think you're gonna agree with me that Ronda Rousey will retain.
Yeah, well, Ronda.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ronda Rousey will retain it. And, you know, they got Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Mia Yim, and a person to be named later versus Damage Control, which has Bayley, Dakota Kai, Shirai, Nikki Cross, and Rhea Ripley. Oh, you know who I think might be the fifth person now that I think about it?
Who?
I was thinking it was going to be Trish Stratus, but now it makes more sense that it's this person. I think it's going to be Beth Phoenix, because Beth Phoenix was taken out, was basically knocked out, you know, with the concerto by Rhea Ripley, who's going to be in this match. So this would be the best chance for her to get revenge.
Yeah, I want to think about it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that.
And,
you're right.
And because of that, I mean, Damage Control, they have to get this victory. Because if they don't win this match, where the title, Bianca Belair's title isn't on the line, then Damage Control doesn't have no credibility whatsoever.
Yeah, they're pretty much useless.
I'm thinking Bianca Belair, but I'm like, my mind is like, Damage Control has to win this. If Damage Control does not win this match, I mean, it's like, why do they even have a faction? They haven't won anything.
No.
They might have won one match on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
No, I mean on Raw. And then that's it. It was like when Straight Edge Society was feuding with Big Show.
Yeah.
I mean, Damage Control has to win this, but I think Bianca Belair is going to win this.
I'm going the opposite now.
Yeah, I'm going Bianca Belair. With WWE, you can't use logic, so.
No, I'm going the opposite way.
Oh, you think Damage Control is going to win?
Yeah.
Because they have to win this.
Yeah.
They have to win. I mean, the X factor of them having a person to be named later, that's like, But then again, if Beth Phoenix came, I mean, behind the scenes, I think she'd put over the talent instead of her winning. Damn, this is like a really
tough one.
Really tough. I could literally see it going either way. Like, it makes sense for Damage Control to win it because they, This is a one-sided victory. Bianca Belair just whoops her behind all the time, you know? But the title's not on the line, so this is the perfect time for her to lose a match to them. Man, WWE. Fine, you know what? I guess I have to pick Damage Control because they have to win this.
Yeah.
If they lose this feud is one-sided, like Kylo Ren versus Rey. Like, I mean, the bad guys have to win once so you could take them seriously. Like, this is ridiculous. My mind is telling me to pick Bianca Belair, but I guess I have to pick Damage Control because it's like
you have to win.
It makes more sense.
Do or die.
Yeah, this is literally do or die for them because they're not going to win. They're not winning the title from her anytime soon. And then last but not least, you got the Bloodline: Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, Sami Zayn, the Usos. Versus the Brawling Brutes, which is Sheamus, Rich Holland, and Butch, Drew McIntyre, and Kevin Owens. Who you got here? This is a tough one as well, too.
Wow. I'm going with Drew.
Oh, you're going with the good guys?
Yeah, I'm going with the good guys.
Now, the question is, I think Sami Zayn is the X factor here.
Hmm.
Will Sami Zayn betray the Bloodline?
No, this would I don't be the think so.
Will he betray the Bloodline and join with the good guys, with Kevin Owens, and form the group?
I don't think so.
Or will Kevin Owens shockingly turn heel again and join the Bloodline?
I could see that happening. More so than Sami Zayn betraying the Bloodline.
Yeah, I think it would have happened, but now everybody's feeling oozy with the catchphrases, and you know Sami Zayn is like the MVP, the Bloodline, and Roman Reigns is the undisputed champion. I mean, they're co MVPs. Like the way how Sami Zayn has been like entertaining the fans. Like
yeah.
I don't think they want to ruin it right now. This would be the perfect time for Sami Zayn because Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens haven't fought each other. I mean, they've teased it, but they've never fought each other. So I'm thinking maybe Kevin Owens will join them. Kevin Owens will join the Bloodline.
I see that happening.
I think that's what's going to happen because This right here is the perfect opportunity for Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens to join forces with each other, whether it's with the Bloodline or with each other. But I think the fans are too behind him being on the Bloodline because I think the Bloodline and Sami Zayn is working too good that this probably was going to be the time when Sami Zayn would turn on them and the fans would be applauding and be firmly behind them with the good guys. But I think the Bloodline's on a gold mine with Sami Zayn a part of them. So I don't think, for that reason, I think they're not going to break it up. As a matter of fact, the more likelihood, as shocking as it would be Kevin Owens joining them. So he could join, you know, Sami Zayn, his best friend. So that's my pick. Bloodline will retain, which is basically against my logic of Bianca Belair. I mean, Bianca Belair, you know, this is the chance for Bianca Belair to lose a match and not lose the title. Same thing with Roman Reigns, but I think they just want Roman Reigns to be undefeated, period, you know, until he loses the title. So, yeah, normally this would be the time he'd get a L, but I think with the Kevin Owens X factor into this, Sami Zayn, I think Bloodline will win.
Yeah, I'm still going with Drew's team.
Okay. We shall see. Because this is the same logic with Damage Control. the underdogs need to win this so that they can have a legit chance as competitors. Damage Control, by their name alone, they should be the heels. They should be dominating the thing as they say they are. But Bianca Belair has their number. Like, they just can't defeat her.
Yep.
And they're desperate. They got Nikki Cross to whoop their behind when she returned. And they're cool with her. And Nikki Cross and Rhea Ripley were tag teams before Ripley turned heel on her or Nikki Cross turned heel on her, and then she was a superhero and all this stuff. Like, so yep. They have history as well.
That's gonna be a good match.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that one.
I'm really looking forward to the War Games one, the matches. Long overdue that they're on the main roster. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the War Game matches. Anything you'd like to say before, you know, we head out?
Listen, isn't there another match? Is that it?
Supposedly these are the only matches, unless they add some matches on tomorrow on, you know, tonight on Raw and
on
SmackDown.
There's a few more matches than that, but okay.
I'm sure they will add. I'm sure they'll add more, but
okay.
Let me see if there's anything else that's reported that they're going to have a match. From what I'm seeing, those are the only.
Oh, okay.
Matches that I'm seeing that are you know, scheduled for the, you know, upcoming pay-per-view event. But I'm sure they'll add more.
Okay.
This week. But anything else you'd like to say?
Congrats to Aaron Judge winning the MVP.
Oh yeah,
well deserved. You know, broke the American League home run record. Had one of the greatest offensive seasons we've ever seen in baseball. So congrats to him on winning the MVP.
Yes, a long overdue, well-deserved victory for Aaron Judge. You know, now we shall see, which I assume he'll return to the pinstripes with. We shall see. Congrats to Buck Showalter winning the Manager of the Year. Definitely a long overdue. I mean, every decade he's won Manager of the Year. 1994 with the Yankees. 2004 with the Rangers, 2014 with the Orioles, and 2022 with the Mets. So he got it 2 years earlier than he normally wins it, because he always wins it on the 94, 2004, 2014, and he couldn't wait until 2024 to win it. So he won it 2 years earlier. So congrats to him. And
congrats.
Guess how many Met managers have won this award? Prior to him.
Two?
Zero.
Really?
No Met manager have won this prior to.
Really? Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah. Apparently this award is you know, more, you know, recent. I think they've had it probably since the 80s. David Johnson didn't win in his opportunity. Willie Randolph lost to Joe Girardi.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You know. So yeah, those are the only opportunities the Mets had to win this award. And he beat out Dave Roberts, who had the NL ML leading, 111 wins. He beat out Brad Snicker from the Braves, who, you know, failed to defend the title. Marmol, I think, from the Cardinals. And Rob Thompson, who he finished in fifth place in the voting, and he led the Phillies to the NL East Championship, and you know, went before they lost to the Astros. So yeah, man,
the NL East, man, it's a scary, it's a NL beast division, man. You got the third best team, when you know, being the National League champions. You got the Mets, who was 2 years in a row was the best team in, you know, in the NL East, but they couldn't hold on to the finish line. And then you have the Braves, who were the world champions last year. So the NL East, man, is clearly the best division, you know, in baseball right now. You know what I'm saying?
I disagree with that, but okay.
Well, yeah, I know you'll disagree with that because, you know, your Yankees always win like 99 games, you know, every year, and you know.
AL East has something to say about that.
Even the AL West
this year.
We can sneeze, and the Yankees will make it to the playoffs.
The Rays and the Blue Jays this year were really good. All three.
Yeah,
teams
they were
made the
good,
playoffs.
But they couldn't even. They're pretenders, man. Everybody knows the Yankees will win the division.
Well,
everybody,
all three teams made
that.
The playoffs just like the NL East did. So what are you saying?
What?
All three teams made the playoffs just like the NL East did. So.
Yeah, but the Yankees. Everybody knew the Yankees was going to win. Yankees had that slide, and nobody was afraid of Yankees losing the division.
But that's not the point.
That's my point.
I'm saying that all three teams made the playoffs just like the NL East did. So that has nothing to do with the Yankees.
The Yankees won the division as always.
Right, but all three teams. You said that the NL East is better. I'm telling you, three teams from the American League East made the playoffs.
Yes.
Just like three teams from NL East made the playoffs. So that's the same to me. I don't see what the difference is.
Yeah, but the difference is that everybody knew Yankees was going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. There's no shock value that Yankees advanced to the playoffs. Whereas the Mets, even though, you know, the Mets, you know, they had some expectations this year, it failed. You know, the Braves were the defending champions. Philly shouldn't have even made the playoffs, but thanks to this new playoff format, they made it to the playoffs. You know what can you? I mean,
even the Orioles were decent this year too. Orioles weren't that bad also in the American League East.
Yes. But Yankees are their daddy, so they can't advance either. The Marlins was a joke in the National League East, but yeah, we'll get more into this that you know later when we have more time. You know, I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on.
Everyone have a happy Thanksgiving and a Black Friday. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Yes, you know, hope you all have a wonderful, blessed, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you enjoy Black Friday. And, you know, we'll see you guys next time. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm Louis Marmo, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace. Ha ha ha.